welcome everybody to episode 103 of High Tech on the Low. Avi, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very, very good. I'm really excited to have Avi Aflalo here, CEO and co-founder of Simplex Mapping. Today, we're talking all about the world of 3D mapping and what it's good for the world. And as always, we are sponsored by Frontin and JB Upscale with 3,000 members and a marketing agency here to support you. And as always, if you like what you're hearing today, please throw us a like, follow, view, anything you can. And that's what we're going to get into. So, Avi, you know, I think the easiest way to just get started is, you know, first, who are you? And second, what is 3D mapping?
Right. Okay. So I'm Avi Aflalo. I'm the co-founder and then one of the CEO of Simplex. We started 10 years ago and I come from business and marketing.
Okay. So not a mapper.
Not a real mapper, not okay. Military and not not technology wise, right. But I came from the business side of it.
Sure.
And we've kind of, my two partners are actually PhDs in geoinformation and mapping. Okay. So they came up with the technology and I brought the business financial part to the business. And right. Then we've created Simplex 10 years ago.
Okay.
Just celebrated 10, like a month
Amazing.
Ago.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a long journey.
That's a big accomplishment. I think a lot of people, you know, we should actually take a second and really think about that. Because like, think about it. Most startups, what, die in the first year, you know?
Yeah, like 75% in five years.
And you made it 10 years and you guys are growing.
Yes.
Which we'll get to in a little bit.
Yeah. So we are, not really in the startup phase anymore. I mean, we are selling and we have products, but still a technology company.
Right.
And we've created methods to, you know, create the world's highest resolution 3D maps.
Okay. Which means what, really?
So basically it means that you take imagery. We use aerial imagery from planes.
Sure.
Not drones.
Okay.
People are always confused, but...
But planes okay.
like a Cessna, you know, like a light aircraft.
Right, right. Like the ones who are doing like the weather mapping and stuff like
yeah,
that. In a
yeah,
sense.
Similar to
That's
those.
That's how I know it is. You know?
Right. So similar to this. And then we take very high resolution data from
okay.
the air,
okay.
from any angle around each object on the ground.
And is it based off pictures that you
it's
guys are
based
taking?
On a picture, okay. like a still picture.
Okay.
Very A lot of them. Like sure. We are talking about... hundred of thousands or millions for big projects of imagery.
Okay.
And then we take all of this imagery and automatically create a 3D model of the landscape of the city or
Amazing.
Whatever. So that's how we make the 3D. It means that it's automatically create the geometry of every building and every structure, and then automatically renders the textures
okay.
of the images.
Okay.
And this is why it looks reality. It
okay.
looks real. It looks exactly like it was taken from the plane.
So like basically like, I mean, how in depth of an image do you get? Like, you know, is it to the point like you can see the type of mailbox I have on my
yes.
house?
So
wow.
So it's a 3 centimeter data. Okay. So
it's accurate.
It's not accuracy. It's the resolution. So it's okay. 3 centimeter per pixel.
Okay.
So it means basically that you can recognize anything that is roughly a half a meter, okay?
Okay.
So roughly that size of objects, everything would be recognizable, and you can zoom in and see it in the map like you are walking in the street. So
that's pretty big. I mean, it means that you could get, what, like even small statues, basically.
Yes, you see statues, you see houses, you see cars,
right.
you see everything. So it's like okay. basically like walking the city. It's basically like, or we used to call it like flying a small drone with you in it,
right.
flying around the streets and see everything from 360 degrees, from any direction, from any point,
uh-huh.
make measurements and do a lot of analysis on this map, because it's not just visualization.
Sure.
It's also an accurate map that you can actually work with.
Yeah, so what data are you guys actually taking then from the images? You know, is it just, hey, this is what the place looks like, congratulations? Or is it like, you know, this is now we see the issues with how the civil society is built or the traffic or whatever?
Right,
know?
So the 3D map is just the platform. It's just the infrastructure of what we sell.
Okay.
So in general, the product itself is a SaaS platform.
Okay.
On which you have many, many tools that you can work with the data.
Okay.
From view shed analysis, line of sight, measurements, terrain profiling, you can add all of your data information that you
okay.
have on your organization privately on your SaaS cloud,
mm-hmm.
Securely, of course.
Right.
And then you can do a lot of work with it
okay.
for architects, for planners, for city engineers, for urban planning. So you have like the sandbox of the city
sure.
in realistic view.
Sure.
But then you can play with it. You can add information. You could add 3D architect models to it.
Okay.
You can, if there is like a renovation.
So you guys give like the basis basically
we
for
gave
a
the
larger
platform.
A
we
larger give... analysis of the whole thing.
Right. I mean, okay. We give the tools.
Okay.
We give the data. We give the 3D model. And
sure.
Then you, the professional, would do the work.
Okay.
Either an architect or an engineer, civil engineer, or urban planner, or the city architect, main architect that wants to understand how the city would look like in 10, 5
uh-huh,
years.
Uh-huh.
So all of that is possible with the platform. But the platform itself and the 3D model is just the map. It's just the base.
Right.
And then all of the tools, and later we can talk about the AI capabilities that we've built on top of it.
We'll get there.
Yeah. That's what gives the value.
I mean, okay.
This is really what gives the value. And we are pretty much the only one that also provide the data,
uh-huh.
the 3D data with the SaaS platform combined.
Okay.
Okay. So many of the, well, the other, there's a small company other than us that do it.
Okay.
Maybe you heard about it, Google.
Oh, Google. Google's, you know, those guys in the valley.
In the valley.
Yeah, right.
You know, I
okay.
think they seem to be successful.
Right.
Right.
But, do you work with them?
We're not working with them,
uh-huh.
But I mean, in this, well, their scale is larger than us
yeah,
currently.
Obviously, right.
Obviously
yeah.
they do in the entire world.
Right.
But other than them, they offer a platform with data.
Right.
But their platform is just for viewing.
Right.
Okay. It's just for if you want to see your hotel in Rome.
Whereas yours is more for modeling.
It's yeah, and sense. Ours it's more for work.
Okay.
It's a private secured network for. Professionals to work with.
So it's more complementary in that sense. It's like not necessarily
exactly.
A competitive.
So it's interesting that Google actually helped us because before Google entered the world of 3D mapping,
right?
Actually, pretty much when we started, so in 2015.
That's when maps kind of started more or
the
less?
The 3D maps.
Oh, the
yeah,
3D
the
maps.
3D maps.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
So it kind of started at the same time.
Interesting.
And then, but they helped us because people then understood
like that what is 3D map?
What is 3D map? And they started to ask for it.
So can you wait, tell me like some of these projects maybe that you guys are on, like what are some notable ones that you guys have worked on that maybe some of us would know or at least would be at a level that we can all understand?
Right. So let's start from Israel.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Easy.
So Israel, it's easy because we are here and
right.
we've worked here for 10 years. So
sure.
In Israel, we've created the 3D revolution in
Ooh,
Israel.
Okay. 3D revolution.
Yes.
Sounds spicy. Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's no 3D maps in Israel. There is no Google in Israel. Google
okay.
has not done a 3D mapping of Israel. So we are
ever.
The only ever. So we are the only platform that offer 3D of the entire city of Israel, and we've done more than 100 cities
in Israel.
In Israel,
okay.
in the last 3 years, all of the big cities are working with our platform, and we also have like a portal where you can just go in, Simplex 3D COIL that
okay.
you can just look on your house in
and
3D.
You can like see the 3D mapped
yes.
area of your house in
it's
Israel.
A bit limited in resolution
and you can't do this on Google.
You cannot do it in Google because there's no 3D in Google.
Interesting.
Yeah. So basically our platform really differs in Google from Google in that sense that it's an actual you know, a professional system, but we've made it for the non-professionals.
Mm.
So anyone can use it. You don't have to be like a GIS professional to use it. GIS is Geographical Information System.
Right. Thank
which,
you for that.
Yeah. And the other system really requires you to be a professional. You need like a course, a 6-month course,
right.
just to understand the tools.
Well, it's interesting what you're bringing up there too, because that's actually kind of like, I think, something that maybe is what really made you guys even popular, right?
Right.
Because it's this like secret sauce that you're kind of talking about where you
yeah.
were able to kind of get into the mind of the everyday person and say, hey, listen, 3D mapping is not just for the guy who sits there and has a PhD. Like you can do it, you can use it for anything if you want.
Basically,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. So the idea was like the revolution, why we call it a revolution? Because three and a half years ago, there was no city using 3D maps in Israel, only one. And you know, the old technology, when you did the 3D by hand, like
right.
it was manual work,
sure.
every building, you need to sketch every building and attach the facades if you wanted to look nice.
Oh,
but
it's totally old style. It's
old
like,
style, and
wow.
it could, but old style only 3.5-4 years ago, right? I mean, that was.
But it's like also super time intensive.
Exactly.
Like
so,
that.
To do a city could take you a year to finish.
Tons,
and
yeah. Wow.
After 1 year, in Israel for sure, the city changes,
yeah,
right?
Definitely.
I mean, you see 10 new buildings.
I mean, isn't that like any city these days? I mean, God,
yeah,
but you know, really, I mean, like you're right. It's like any city. So you're gonna just sit there what for a year? By the time you've done that,
you have to
you
go
do
and
it again.
Update it again.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it costs millions of shekels, like in Israel, or like $1 million for a city,
mm-hmm.
and it was not affordable. So
okay.
cities could not do it. It took too much time. It was very expensive, and also the systems could not really really handle this large data set.
Sure.
So no one used it, and they all used the regular 2D maps for 20 years.
You know, and then since enters Simplex, gives the cities the tools. Right,
and when we started, we showed them that they can do it in 2 or 3 weeks, not a year.
And they were able to see like the whole kind of
the whole city in 3D.
Wow.
And because we do it automatically and very, very fast, the cost is like 5% of what it used to cost.
5%?
So, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure these cities love that.
Right. So and all of a sudden, all of them came in and said, I want that as well.
Okay.
And not just once. I want it updated every year because, as we said, city changes
right.
all the time.
Right.
So we have an enormous amount of work with the cities here all the time, wants to add a new model, update it again, work with the system.
Sure.
And this, we got to 100 city municipalities in 3 years, so which is very, very fast.
I mean, that's pretty big and pretty,
yes,
like, incredible scale. And it's no doubt also, too, that, like, the whole idea of the efficiency moniker that you guys are promoting,
exactly,
you know, is just amazing. Now, when you were also, you know, starting the company and everything like that, did you guys take on investment at first, or was it just straight revenue from the start?
Right. So I think it's an interesting journey
what okay.
we had. So we started as a bootstrap company completely.
100%? Like 100% garage startup
style? Garage startup.
Okay.
Put our own money into it.
Okay.
Worked for a year with no salary.
Mm.
Me and my two partners, Ziv and Shachar, they're these two PhDs.
Right.
And we've... That was intentionally. We didn't want to go find funding.
Okay.
We had bad experience in other companies with companies just looking for the new round of funding and not putting any effort on the product or the customers.
Sure.
And that is why we said, okay, let's do it differently. Let's try to do something fast that would work and would start generate revenue.
But focusing on the product.
And focusing on the product okay. and on the customers. So that it's hard. It's hard to do.
And no one's going to say it's easy to do, right? You know, otherwise everybody
ever to do it. Yeah, but you know what I mean? You think it's hard, but you don't know how hard
sure,
is it, right?
Sure. So
we started doing it, and luckily we've managed to make a product very, very fast, like
okay.
the first camera system,
okay.
which now looks like an old, you know, like a old car, like in the garage, you know,
okay.
but in the, like 10 years ago, it was a bit with more innovative.
Right.
And this camera started to make, we started to make projects with this camera and slowly started to gather more projects
sure.
and more revenue. And then we could upgrade the technology, put better cameras, design new systems,
sure.
work on processing and so on. But it started as completely bootstrapped. And it's a very,
what was
very,
the first project, can I ask?
Yeah, so the first project actually was in Chile, in South America.
So you already got the first project internationally when
yes.
you did it first? Interesting. Well,
yes.
How did you get that one?
So it's a connection we knew before.
Okay.
But we had, there was an opportunity for a forestry mapping project, a 4 years deal.
That's pretty intense.
That was the first deal we've done. And
did you guys stack out? Did you guys perform?
Yes, we did. It was not easy.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm sure doing a bootstrapped company from Israel and Chile,
yes,
forestry.
And I'm talking like 6 months after we started. So I'm talking ooh. Late 2013 when we started in May.
Right.
So we had like, it was like a point of like not even a product, you know, like a mock-up
right,
or
right,
like,
right.
like a proof of concept.
Sure.
But it actually worked out. And this was the first, you know, stream of revenue that came in that
uh-huh.
allowed us to really move on to the bigger projects. And then we've done a project in Nigeria
okay.
and Vancouver and the U.S.,
so you guys were pretty international from the start, it sounds
yes,
like.
Yes, that was our intention from the beginning.
Really? You didn't want to stay in Israel?
We didn't want to focus on Israel.
Okay, so you wanted to go out. You knew the opportunity was out of Israel.
Yes,
okay.
we knew, you know, like everyone that is a small market
right.
and there is competition here and so on.
What is kind of funny then, actually, when you think about it, that only 4 years ago, the city started using you here in a sense, that you guys started mapping,
right.
but you're a 10-year company in Israel, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So by 2017 or 18, I think no one had would know us here in Israel. We were only working outside of Israel in international projects.
Okay.
But then in 2018, we started working also in Israel. We came up with a 3D model, which was very attractive and caught up very, very fast and one by one added. And so we found ourselves with a lot of work in Israel.
Sure.
And slowly we started to see that there is a market here also.
Okay.
And the 3D revolution came in,
yeah.
and we started to focus more on that. And then in 2019, like we were about to go again internationally on a larger scale.
Okay.
We had maybe 10 successful pilots around the world.
I feel like I already know what you're about to tell me.
Yes, and 2020 came in and changed the world, there right? So COVID came in and like everything stopped in a second.
Really? You guys had no
international work for 2.5 years.
But what did that mean for you guys then? Did you guys stop like working, or did you guys just kind of focus on product, or what did you do?
Yeah, so luckily, you know, it came out okay, where we started working in Israel in 2018.
Okay.
So by 2020, we had a lot of ongoing projects in Israel.
So you guys were like just riding the wave.
Right. So that kept us going through these years, even without going internationally.
Sure.
We didn't grow as we expected in these years.
Okay.
But we haven't been downscaled as well.
Right.
So we didn't downsize. We didn't fire anyone. So we kind of maintain the structure and the company.
That's pretty unique for that time.
So. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I was very happy that we managed to do it
and
not letting go anyone.
Yeah.
And we took the time to focus actually on the SaaS platform, on developing a very, very comprehensive SaaS platform. As we understand that when COVID would end, we would take that internationally. And this is exactly what's happening right now.
So what are you guys up to in a sense today? And also, I'd say, what are some plans maybe that you guys have for some future developments?
Right. So the plan today actually is to expand globally.
Okay.
So we started working in Italy.
You mean more than you are?
More than we are.
I was going to say, because it's like expand globally. Most people say that they're like, yeah, you know, now we're going to take it to America, not just, oh, well, we've been in Nigeria, Chile, US, Canada. Now we're going to expand globally.
Right.
You know?
No, what I'm focusing my international expansion on is the 3D SaaS platform. Okay, this is what we are now
not just
selling
the mapping,
the yes.
camera resolutions, not just
right.
That.
The mapping and the 3D resolution is a tool. Okay, is the basic tool. But what we actually sells is subscriptions to the SaaS platform that to use the model.
Gotcha.
Okay, and by the way, in Israel we started, as I said, B2G. We started with municipalities,
right?
And we got to 100, which was very, very.
I mean, it's pretty monumental.
Yeah, but I think what is more important is that in 2020, and I think this is actually thanks to COVID in some way, we saw that a lot of B2B companies are also interested in that platform.
Why?
Because it seems that they can make much better decisions and work much more efficiently with our platform.
So are you guys pivoting then to B2B?
So we pivot to B2B as well.
Uh-huh.
So we have now over, and this is 2 years I'm talking about, over 600 companies, private companies using our model. Real estate developers, architects, civil engineers, solar panels, communications. There's a very long tail of companies using, but the main ones are architects, real estate developers, construction companies.
Sure.
They all need to see a very high resolution in data of the
of a map. Yeah, of an area. You know, whether it's urban area or non-urban or whatever.
Or new development,
you know, exactly.
And we allow them very efficiently, very fast, to upload all of their information, all of their project information on this last platform, share it with others. So the architects can share it with the real estate investor, and all of the stakeholders can see the projects in real time, realistically,
sure,
on the map and talk about it while they're doing their meetings and so on. And it saves time. They don't have to go outside the office.
Uh-huh. Was this like a hard pivot when you guys made to the business move? Because it seems like it would be kind of different than what you would be doing
right.
in terms of the whole marketing, sales. Can be pretty, I mean, that type of move can be very, you know, traumatic in a sense for a company. You know
yes,
what I mean?
You are right. But strategically, we thought that the B2B market, thinking internationally, is the massive market.
Right.
This is the numbers that, you know, in the US you have like maybe 500,000 similar companies that you can approach.
Right. And it's a quicker sales cycle, let's be honest.
Much quicker. And what's more important is that you already have the data.
Uh-huh.
When we sell it to the B2B market, we have the 3D data ready with the information, everything, with the data layers that we can integrate with open sources and so on. So you come to an entrepreneur and you show them their project.
Right.
On the map, it's usually it's one call, like
one
demo.
That's a sell.
It's a sell.
Yeah,
yeah. And the costs are much, much more lower, right? I mean, they don't need to like the cities to buy the model.
Right.
They like just buying a subscription.
And they understand it from the start too, because they see it. They know the value because they're working in the field.
Exactly.
So they see it, and it's an easy sell. Okay.
And this really ramped up really fast, like 600 companies in 2 years. I mean, it's almost as much as we could digest in that time, right?
Uh-huh.
But now the challenge is how to take it to their really big markets, like the US, which has 500,000 similar companies we can approach.
Right.
So this is our main goal for this year and next year is starting with the US. We already started working in Italy.
Okay.
With a partner there that is selling it mainly B2G, but we do also pivot there to P2B as well.
Okay.
Next one. We are now doing a very interesting project for the Quito Fire Department in Ecuador.
Okay. So you guys are really all over.
All over. Yeah. Yeah.
How do people hear about you?
So sometimes agents, you know, there's a interesting character of Israelis that are like everywhere, you know it.
Yeah, of course, you know, like, it's like all of a sudden you'll be someplace and you'll just hear someone speaking Hebrew.
It's always like an agent, you know, or someone doing business everywhere you look, the word that Israeli, and you get in touch with them, you know, in the conferences and so on.
Right.
And like that,
you just need that one guy to connect you to the right guy and you're good. Yeah,
exactly.
I know what you mean.
So we've done that in Ecuador actually with Spanish guys, but it's a very interesting project where our 3D model is like the base, the basic layer for the command and control of the fire department, which our map, our system, we've developed it in the most flexible possible way.
Okay.
So it means you can integrate many, many data layers on top of the map.
Got you.
Both static, like street names and parcels and blocks, but also real-time layers like GPS tracking. You can show where the map, where the cars are moving.
Right, which is huge for them. Emergency services need this.
Services, exactly.
Yeah, and also Quito is like a mess too.
IoT sensors. Yeah, if you have readings from IoT sensors, you can show it on a map. So the idea is that all of the information you need to make a decision would be gathered in one screen, on one location, and that location should be a 3D map. This is what we think.
Interesting. So wait, so where are you guys now then in terms of seeing the future of mapping? Because like I imagine right now, listen, there's so much interest. I mean, 3D mapping in and of itself, let's be real, very, very unique.
Yeah.
Not like an old tech type of thing. New tech, very cool. But like, what's the future of mapping to you guys? Because I imagine now with the AI, you know, revolution, you know, you guys are 3D revolution. This is AI revolution. It's coming through. You know, imagining that's something for you. You guys might even be thinking of, I don't even know, quantum computing when it comes soon.
Right.
So what's in your mindset now? What is like simplex mapping, doing, you know, in a sense to, I guess, get ready for this next wave.
Right. So we're not only thinking about it, we're already doing it.
Okay, so you guys are already looking at, what are the things you are looking at? Like, what are you guys bullish on right now?
Yeah, so we've established a new AI department last year.
Okay.
And this is exactly to find the next big thing for the next 5 years, not just what we are doing now.
Right.
And this is actually very interesting. The AI that we are doing would, at the end of the day, would create automatic recognition of everything that you see in the city. Okay, because right now it's
what does that mean though?
Yeah, so I'll explain.
Because like now it took me a second there to even think about it. I was like, automatic recognition. Wait, you know, I mean, it would just like show up and be like, oh yeah, Tel Aviv,
so,
New York. You know, like,
right. So you know. Exactly. So when you look at Tel Aviv, you know it's Tel Aviv because
I know it's Tel Aviv because I live here.
Because you live here or in New York and you understand, you recognize, but the computer don't recognize and understands automatically what it is. It 100%. Doesn't understand that this is a building or this is a stairway and this is a...
Right, it needs the data to learn that this is Tel Aviv, right?
Yeah,
or something like
so
that.
we're teaching the computer to understand anything that we see in the city. What is a building? What is a tree? What is a swimming pool? What material does the building is built of? Is it cement? Is it glass? So we're going to categorize everything that is in the city to make it readable by the computer.
Okay.
And that's a very, very valuable layers of information that we can extract from our modeling. And AI work very well. And after 1 year of development, we already have very, very good results. And that's because of the quality of the data we create.
Okay.
Because we see every object from the air, like from 50 different angles.
Okay.
Very, very high resolution.
Right.
And it turned out that this really helps the AI network to learn how to recognize a building.
Okay.
Because it sees it from all directions, and it finally understands, okay, this is a building, and now I can say this is the building, and the next one, even without seeing it exactly, I know it's a building as well.
Okay.
Okay? So it makes...
So it's kind of like, you know, extrapolating that there's a building there, but it's going to basically be that the building's actually there.
Yes, but in general, it's going to be by, like, for example, by one click, you would be able to say to show all of the construction in the city, all of the trees, all of the swimming pools. I want to take them out. I want to take all of the vegetation out one click.
Okay.
I want to, so after you categorize everything, it's much, much easier than to start playing with it. Uh-huh. Move around, put it somewhere else. Show me New York, Tel Aviv in New York style, right. For example. Okay. And we can change the building. So here is also where generative AI comes in.
I was
going to
say, that gets
in.
Very interesting then, because you could actually basically, I mean, you could refurbish entire cities. I mean,
exactly.
You could say, like, I want it to all now look like, you know, I want everything to have a dog park where there's a park.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. Okay. So once you the trick is to understand everything that you see in a computer language, right?
So that's, like, in a sense where the human component never leaves.
Right,
because
right.
You're always going to need, like, even if we can, like, look at it and say, okay, turn New York into Tel Aviv or whatever, I still, as an architect or as a planner or as a civil engineer or whatever it is, have to be able to look at that and say, okay, this is what this means to do the actual work.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And generative AI, which comes up really fast, would also help in that, because I can then give an order to the computer, find me the best building.
Okay.
And you would do it graphically in a 3D map.
Okay.
So that's like the next step. It's not a feature we sell right now,
sure.
But it's coming up.
Okay.
So the first step is categorizing and doing segmentation of everything that
sure.
you see in the imagery.
Sure.
And then we can start playing with it and add features and like you know, like a SimCity, like
okay.
you know the game.
Yeah, of course.
Right. So
we all played SimCity
exactly.
growing up. I mean, I feel like in many ways that's what you're like, kind of like pulling at my inner child, you know, strings right now, because I'm just like, God, I wish I could just like build my own city and actually have it in reality, right? But that's
so,
basically what you're saying.
Yeah. So that's okay. what you could do, and this also gives us an angle to the gaming industry, because they are always looking for the infrastructure of cities for their gaming.
So you mean you could just basically share your data with them?
As I am now, right now, it's not good enough, because the data is still very
raw, maybe
not raw, like heavy, like
heavy?
So like in your cell phone, it would not run smoothly as you would expect in a game.
Okay.
But we are working on a way to simplify the model, so it'd be much, much lighter.
Okay.
And also, right now, if you look from the street level,
uh-huh,
the model is not perfect, because remember, we took the imagery from 2,000 feet in the air.
Uh-huh.
So we cannot see like the angle from the street up.
Okay.
We cannot see it very well. But what we are doing with the AI is completing everything that we don't see from the air graphically on the ground, and then the city would look
well, it sounds
much like you're doing it, like you're walking in the street.
I know. I was going to say, it sounds like almost like, I mean, basically you guys are creating kind of like a way to model cities with the AI as kind of like a backdrop to support it, essentially.
Right. So I'll give you the angle.
Right.
So, you know, GTA?
Yeah.
The game
of course.
In LA?
Yeah, yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
It's another childhood memory.
Yeah. Always. Grand Theft Auto, I was a big person. San Andreas specifically.
Okay.
Anyways.
So, you know how much time and money it took them to create the modeling of LA?
A year or two?
2 years.
I was
going to
say per
millions.
Game release, it's probably a year or two.
Yeah, so the millions of dollars invested in that environment just to create it. And our goal at the end of the day is generally do it by a press of a button. So
okay.
we'll collect LA from the air, we'll do a 3D model, and then we'll push on the button. We call this project Simplicity.
Okay, I like it. Simplex to Simplicity.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we'll push the button, and all of a sudden,
boom.
Boom, it's ready for gaming.
Right, it's GTA level.
It's GTA level look by one, automatically one click. Well, that's, you know, in few years time, but we are getting there.
But you're saying it's not a not reality. That
no,
it's
no,
kinda...
it's, and you know, maybe a year ago when we started this project, I would say, you know, maybe it's a high risk. We're not sure.
Right.
But the results in the first year showed us that it's definitely
the direction.
Doable.
Yeah.
That's the direction, and we are really steaming ahead for that direction, because we think it's going to be very, very interesting for gaming, insurance companies.
It sounds very
lucrative. A lot of applicativity to that.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like there's a lot of opportunity there too. Now, you know, obviously we're getting towards the end of the podcast, and you know, what I think we've really understood
yeah.
here is, like, you know, first, the way in which you guys started is very unique. I think it's like a very unique story of a global expansion before you're even expanding. It's amazing, you know what
yeah.
I mean? And have a very, you know, there's a lot of obviously luck involved, but there's a lot of also
yes.
strategy too, you know? And I think what I'd like you to end on right now, Avi,
yeah.
is your kind of 2 cents, you know, on what entrepreneurs can be, right? And advice for other people out there who are going through your story, and especially right now,
right.
when there's a lot of crap going on in the startup world, whether it's no funding, whether it's, you know, Amdocs just, you know, released
yeah.
2,000 people,
yeah,
whatever.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But all these types of things, what's your advice?
Right. So I think the first thing is, you know, specifically if you are bootstrapped, you know, be patient.
Uh-huh.
And be ready. Be ready, you know, with what you need to endure that pain, let's say. You know, like it's like a marathon.
Right.
Okay? So don't expect big things to happen really, really fast.
Okay.
It takes time. That's the, you know, that's the downside of being a bootstrapped. But if you have to believe in your product, no one else.
Right.
If you have to believe that this solution would help, you know, hundreds of companies out there. And if you focus on this, on that goal, don't look for the next round. Don't, you know, focus on the customer, focus on the product, find the right partners. I think maybe one of the most important things I can say, and I was very lucky to have my two partners with me for 10 years.
And not kill each other.
Not even close.
Right.
You know, we have discussions. We have a lot of, you know, people are have their mind and they express their mind, but it's always respectable. And it's if you find the right partners, that's actually what steams you ahead towards your goal. So partners, focus, and be patient. I think that's the main three thing you should look into and, you know, find in yourself before you go to this journey. And remember, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes few miles would be more difficult than the others. But eventually, if you continue, you'll get to the end. You'll get to the end eventually.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Avi, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And I really appreciate it. And it's interesting to see. I'm interested to see where the AI journey of Simplex goes.
Yeah, let's do another call, another talk.
Exactly. We have to see where it goes in a few. All right. Well, thank you so much, Avi.
Thank you. Perfect.